Hello and welcome to the Mount Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, August 17th. We are returning to Ezekiel for one more day, and this is a passage about the return of God's glory to the temple. Remember at the beginning of Ezekiel how God's throne was on wheels and Ezekiel saw this vision of it and it came up out of the temple and it went over to Babylon and it rested there in the sky. Well, now Ezekiel is having a vision of the throne of God coming back to the temple in Jerusalem. Anytime I'm confused about scripture, I go over to the Bible Project website and they have a little short video on each book of the Bible. In fact, there are two of these short little videos on Ezekiel, and I want to read for you what they say about this passage of scripture, Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48. In this last section of the book, it describes how God's presence is going to one day return to his people and his temple to bring cosmic restoration. That's the idea that we're thinking about here as we think about creation to new creation. So yes, the people are going to rebuild the temple, but it's not fully what Ezekiel sees. For this temple, as we're going to read from the Bible Project, is much grander than the one the Babylonian exiles came back to build. Ezekiel first gets this long, elaborate vision where he tells what the temple is going to look like. And he gives this heavenly tour guide who shows them around the temple complex. And it's much larger and more majestic than even Solomon's temple. That's the one I was referring to. There's a new altar, a new priest, and a whole new system of worship. And after this elaborate tour, God's glorious throne chariot that we saw back in the first vision comes back and it enters into this new temple. Now, the meaning of these temple visions has been a source of debate for a long, long time. Some Christians and Jewish readers believe that this vision will be fulfilled literally one day, and that these chapters offer an actual blueprint of the new temple that will be built when the Messiah returns and brings God's kingdom. But many other Jewish and Christian readers think that this vision is symbolic, that it depicts the reality of God's presence returning to his people in the messianic kingdom, but not necessarily in the form of an actual building. Whichever view you take, it's most important to realize that Ezekiel never calls this city Jerusalem. In chapters 47 and 48, which we're not reading today, we can see why. Ezekiel sees a tiny stream pouring out of this temple threshold and steps, and then it quickly becomes a raging river. This river flows out of the temple and the city into the desert, into one of the most desolate places on the planet Earth, the Dead Sea Valley. And then the river, well, it leaves behind a trail of trees and life. Remember this theme of returning to Eden or better than Eden? And then the Dead Sea gets transformed into a living sea, and it's teeming with plants and animals, this idea of recreation. All of this imagery comes from the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and we see just how cosmic Ezekiel's vision really is. God's plan has always been to restore all humanity and all creation back to his life-giving presence. And so the book ends with the name of the garden city, the Lord is there. And that is how Ezekiel's vision comes to a close. But today we're just going to read a little portion of that, Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 1 through 12. God's glory returns to the temple. Then the man brought me to the gate facing east, and I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of rushing waters, and the land was radiant with his glory. The vision I saw was like a vision I had seen when he came to destroy the city, and like the visions I had seen by the Kabar River, and I fell face down. the glory of the Lord entered the temple through the gate facing east. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. While the man was standing beside me, I heard someone speaking to me from inside the temple. He said, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place for the soles of my feet. This is where I will live among the Israelites forever. The people of Israel will never again defile my holy name, neither they nor their kings, by their prostitution and the funeral offerings for their kings at their death. When they place their threshold next to my threshold and their doorpost beside my doorpost, with only a wall between me and them, they defiled my holy name by their detestable practices. So I destroyed them in my anger. Now let them put away from me their prostitution and the funeral offerings for their kings, and I will live among them forever." Son of man, describe the temple to the people of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their sins. Let them consider its perfection, and if they are ashamed of all they have done, make known to them the design of the temple, its arrangement, its exits and entrances, its whole design and all its regulations and laws. Write these down before them so that they may be faithful to its design and follow all its regulations. This is the law of the temple. All the surrounding area on the top of the mountain will be most holy. Such is the law of the temple. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Did you catch it that God was returning to his temple in this vision that Ezekiel saw? And that is because the idolatry had been removed. It says in this commentary that the basic law of God's temple was holiness. You could see that when we read in verse 12. This is the law of the temple. All the surrounding area on top of the mountain will be most holy. So there's no trace of evil or sin in God. And just as God is holy, we as his people, who are named in the New Testament, the temple of the holy God, so we as the church are called to be holy. And people are holy when they're devoted to God and separate from sin. I want to read 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16 for you. "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" As I alluded to, the New Testament writers use this temple language not for a building, but for the body of Christ, that we as brothers and sisters are the way that people come to know Christ, to know God, to commune with him, is through our work alongside God, that he would allow us to come alongside and be kind of the building where he is housed. And then there's this beautiful picture. Remember, we're going from creation to new creation, of one day when Jesus returns, that there will be a city of God, but something will be missing. There will be no temple in that city. And that is because the temple of God, Jesus our Lord, is going to be right there with his people. And as we look to the end of the story, we are reminded that what was lost in the beginning, that communion with God in the garden, which was marred by sin, is being restored. Once again, God will dwell with his people. He will tabernacle with them. They won't have to come to a physical building, but they'll be in his presence. Even now, he gives us the opportunity to be in his presence through his Holy Spirit, to be aware of our dependence upon him. And so we pray, Lord, today that you would help us to be a holy dwelling place for the Lord, that you would help us to be the kind of people who represent you to the world around us. And when we fail, Lord, we thank you for the once and for all sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on our behalf. Lord, as my brothers and sisters go out into the day, I pray, Lord, that they will be filled with hope that you are coming again, that you are making all things right, and that you dwell with us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we say to you even now, come and dwell with me. We love you, Lord. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.